listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Sylvia Lobo Lobo. Dr. Leopoldo Correa is an associate professor and director of the Dental Sleep Medicine Fellowship Program at Tufts University School of Dental Medicine in Boston, Massachusetts. He assisted in incorporating the teaching of dental sleep medicine into pre- and postgraduate programs at Tufts and developed various continuing education programs at the university, including Dental Sleep Medicine Mini Residency Program, Dental Sleep Medicine Comprehensive Introduction, and Pediatric Dental Sleep Medicine Interdisciplinary Course. Dr. Correa is a diplomate of the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine and visiting professor in different dental schools. He is an active member of professional associations. His passion for education allowed him to share and teach dental sleep medicine programs in the USA, Spain, Mexico, Australia, and Asia. Hi, Dr. Correa. Welcome to the Dental Chat Podcast.
Good morning, Dr. Lobo. Thank you so much for inviting me. So I'm very excited to share this podcast with you and with all your friends online.
So why don't we start by defining what exactly is obstructive sleep apnea?
Of course. Yeah, I think this is a very important topic. And I'm sure many, many people who are listening to this podcast so have interest to know about more about this condition. So obstructive sleep apnea is a condition that is characterized by obstruction of the upper airway. So as you picture the upper airway, so it's comprised of different muscles. So the obstruction of the airway tends to develop during the time that we are asleep. So during the night, so the airway may collapse. So this collapsibility can be partial or complete. And, you know, it's related to different factors. So malfunction of the muscles of the airway, the dimension of the neck circumference. So certainly there is a long list of different risk factors that tends to predispose to the development of this condition. It's a very, very important condition that I think many people should be or must be aware of this problem.
So can you tell us how common is obstructive sleep apnea?
Yes, actually, there is a new data, new information. So according to one of the latest studies that it was performed in, I believe, in 2019. So this recent study, though, is what they did. It was they estimate the prevalence of obstructive sleep apnea globally. So there was the global prevalence of obstructive sleep apnea. And what they found, actually, what they found is very interesting and very very alarming, though. So the global prevalence of obstructive sleep apnea is around 1 billion. So approximately 1 billion people worldwide, it tends to suffer from these conditions. So it's something that the general population, the medical and the dental field, must be aware. And of course, you know, we tend to find different different options to help and help to identify and manage these conditions. So as you see, the number is alarming. It's huge. It's again, I repeat it, it's about 1 billion people around the globe suffering from this obstructive sleep apnea.
Can you tell our listeners what are the symptoms that are associated with obstructive sleep apnea?
Yes, actually, yeah, the symptoms are, you know, it's very important because these symptoms are very common, and probably many, many of our friends listening to this podcast will correlate or will know at least somebody, a friend or a family member, with these symptoms. So what are the symptoms? So the most common symptom is chronic loud snoring, you know, like. So we know that a lot of people tend to snore, and as we get older, so certainly the snoring sound may increase along with other factors, though. There are different factors that it tends to increase the intensity of snoring. But the snoring, I would say, is one of the most common situations that it tends to indicate that the airway is, it's like partially blocked. So there is not enough space, I would say it in that way, space on the airway to breathe during the sleep. And as we go a little bit deeper on this first symptom, so snoring, what causes snoring? Well, snoring is going to be developed by the vibration of the soft tissue. If you open your mouth, you will see some soft tissue on the back of the throat, the back of the mouth. So during the sleep, especially as you sleep on your back, so this soft tissue, it tends to increase the vibration during the time that we breathe in and out. So this vibration is going to basically produce the sound of snoring. So it could be from mild snoring, medium, or very, very intense snoring. So patients with obstructive sleep apnea, most of these patients tends to complain. Well, actually, not the patient itself, but the spouse, the bed partner, it tends to complain of this loud snoring that, in most cases, is very disturbing for, of course, for the patient, but most disturbing for the person who is sleeping next to the snorer. So, and it causes a lot of social difficulties, like going on vacation, sharing the same room. So it's very difficult with somebody who is snore loud. So that was the first symptom. Now, what is the second common symptom? Well, the second symptom that we tend to identify in patients with obstructive sleep apnea is like gasping, choking for air during the sleep. This gasping, choking for air during the sleep sensation is basically the reaction from the actual obstruction of the airway. And how does that sound? So, well, gasping and choking for air is like, waking like that on the middle of the night. And again, so it's alarming from the spouse, the bed partner. And at that point, so the patient may wake up, feeling suffocated, gasping or choking. So it's very common. So, and that indicates that certainly the airway is collapsed, is completely obstructed. So now moving into the next symptom, what I'm doing here, I'm trying to mention three very common symptoms though. So we started with the snoring. Now we are talking about the gasping or choking for air. And lastly, the next symptom. So the last symptom is related to the effect of this condition during the night. And the symptom is characterized by excessive daytime sleepiness. The person may feel sleepy at any time during the day, feeling very fatigued. So what is going on? Why patient with obstructive sleep apnea feel this degree of sleepiness, like falling asleep, difficulty in concentration? Well, this sleepiness that developed during the day is the result of a poor quality of sleep. As we put together the previous two symptoms, which are snoring, gasping for air. So this situation during the sleep, is going to cause a lot of fragmentation of the sleep cycles, which certainly the sleep cycles are, there are some specific number of sleep cycles, and so we can develop a different podcast to talk more about the physiology and characteristic of these sleep cycles. But basically, this is snoring and gasping for air. It will not allow us to get a good quality of sleep. So therefore, the next day, so what is going to happen? Well, so the person is going to feel like tired, is going to have difficulty to initiate the date. It's very common though for somebody that uses the alarm clock to wake up in the morning, just constantly just push the button over and over. So it's difficult to initiate the day. So it's basically, as a recap, so your question about what are the common symptoms of obstructive sleep apnea? So the answer is chronic loud snoring, gasping, choking for air, and excessive daytime sleepiness.
Thank you so much. Those are that's helpful information. Can you tell us how is it diagnosed?
Absolutely. Actually, yeah, this is a very important to discuss the way this condition is diagnosed, because now we are moving from identifying these common symptoms to the way that this condition can be diagnosed. Well, the diagnosis is basically done by an overnight sleep study. So what is this? Well, the overnight sleep study is something that is required to identify the amount of obstruction of the airway, you know, how many times the patient tends to develop this obstruction during the sleep, and also to identify the amount or the degree of oxygen desaturation. So, you know, talking briefly about oxygen. So if the airway is obstructed, you know, that means that there is a reduction of air or complete cessation of airflow during that particular episode of obstruction. So after a few seconds, so the oxygen is going to decrease, you know, it's called oxygen desaturation. So all these parameters, you know, like number of times of obstruction of the airway, intensity of percentage of oxygen. So all these parameters have to be identified and measured by an overnight sleep study. So these sleep studies, you know, there is a very extensive network of sleep centers and sleep physicians that are specialized, and you know, they have a special personnel trained for to perform this type of studies. So now, what about the these studies? So these studies can be done at the hospital. You know, the person spend the night at the sleep center, or the sleep study can be done at the patient's home. So the sleep doctor, the sleep physician, can recommend, you know, what will be the most appropriate study for that particular case, if it needs to be done in the hospital or if it has to be done in the patient's home.
Is there a connection between obstructive sleep apnea and high blood pressure?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, very important, because you know, obstructive sleep apnea, so we know that it produces all these changes on during the sleep, like cessation of breathing, reduction of oxygen. So, and of course, having this situation from not breathing properly during the sleep and having a constant reduction of oxygen. So unfortunately, it's going to have some consequences, and very, very serious consequences in the long term, if the patient doesn't get any type of treatment. So the medical conditions that tends to be associated, very common, by the way, with obstructive sleep apnea. So one of these conditions is high blood pressure. So high blood pressure is very common. It's very common in patients with obstructive sleep apnea. So during the sleep, you know, let me take one step back about the briefly talking about the sleep and the sleep cycles. During these sleep cycles, let me, you know, if I want to put it in an easy way to understand. So we go from light sleep, deep sleep, and a very deep sleep, which is also called REM. So during these particular stages of sleep or sleep cycles, so there is a level of or a degree of sleep that it tends to help to balance or to decrease the heart rate and blood pressure. Now, is you picture, you know, the obstruction of the airway, snoring, gasping for air. So as I mentioned earlier, so there is a constant disruption, fragmentation, fragmentation, fragmentation of the sleep. And this fragmentation will not, unfortunately, will not allow for the person to develop all the normal cycles that will produce the benefit that we were talking about, you know, reduction or balance of the heart rate, blood pressure. And, you know, it could be one of the situation of why, if somebody with obstructive sleep apnea doesn't get proper treatment, so, I mean, the blood pressure may increase, may get worse over time, or could be more difficult to manage. So that's why when we do the screening for patients for obstructive sleep apnea, So we go over a series of screening questions related to snoring, gasping for air, daytime sleepiness, and certainly we include a list of comorbidities, a list of medical conditions that tends to be associated with the obstructive sleep apnea, and high blood pressure is one of those.
Are there other medical conditions that can be associated with obstructive sleep apnea? And can you talk about the connection between obstructive sleep apnea and these medical
Yeah,
conditions?
absolutely. So, I mean, obstructive sleep apnea have been linked or associated with the vast list of medical conditions, including diabetes and some other conditions that there is a lot of evidence correlated with obstructive sleep apnea. So, one of the things that we tend to evaluate or the common situation with development of these medical conditions. So one of the common condition is the increase of body weight in many patients, so obesity, high BMI. So increase of body weight, it tends to produce some increase of the size of the neck circumference. So this situation in the long term, you know, it tends to get a little bit worse, and you know, it develops into other significant medical conditions in the long term if it's not treated.
How can obstructive sleep apnea be treated?
Perfect. So I like your question. So now, what can we do? What are the options available for somebody with obstructive sleep apnea? Well, I would like to say that obstructive sleep apnea is a serious medical condition. So it's a condition that has to be diagnosed by the sleep physician through the use of different type of sleep studies. So the treatment options that we have available include the use of the machine. So this machine is called CPAP. It actually has different names. CPAP is for continuous positive air pressure. There are some other designs like a BiPAP or APAP. So the sleep physician will determine what machine is ideal for a particular case. And what is about this machine? Well, the CPAP, so what it does, it pushes air through the nose. I'm sure many of our friends listening to this podcast knows at least someone in the family or friend who uses this machine. So again, so the machine pushes air through the nose. There is a small tube that is connected to a small interface or mask attached to the bridge of the nose, and it pushes air. It's a pressurized air that allows a path to keep the airway patent, so will prevent the collapsibility. So that is one of the very common treatment options. So now for many of these patients, you know, many patients who uses the CPAP machine. So even though, just let me emphasize, so the CPAP is very effective, you know, it's highly effective to manage this condition. However, many of these patients using the CPAP machine, unfortunately, they cannot tolerate the machine. Why? Well, different situations. So the high pressure from the machine, the need to travel frequently, having difficulty to carry the machine to you know, wherever they go, especially if they go during the summertime, they go out camping or different situations where the electricity is not available. So that is one of the situations when patients with the find difficulty of using the CPAP machine. So what options do we have? You know, if somebody cannot use or cannot tolerate or is not an appropriate candidate for CPAP machine. Well, the other option is the use of oral appliances. So that's where dentists, you know, your dentists, they have some dentists, they have a special training in this field, the field of sleep, dental sleep medicine. So the oral appliances are fabricated and fitted by dentists with training in this field. And what these oral appliances do, so they helps at the same time, they help to prevent the obstruction of the airway. And it's, you know, they have been proven to be effective in some degree obstructive sleep apnea. So of course there is some categories where the dentist needs to identify if the patient is a candidate for this particular treatment with oral appliance. The other option, there are a long list of different surgical procedures. So these surgeries, of course, as long as the patient is a candidate for surgery. So these surgical procedures, they are performed depending on the site of obstruction. So some surgical procedures performed at the level of the nose, at the level of the soft palate, or at the level of a lower position, like in the area of the base of the tongue. So there is a long process, though. So it's a process to identify the specific site of obstruction and to know if the patient could be a candidate for this particular procedure. So one of the latest therapies is called the hypoglossal nerve stimulation. It's like a small, I would call it, or similar to a pacemaker. It's an implant. So it's implanted over the chest area of the patient. So this implant or hypoglossal nerve stimulation, so it stimulatory tends to produce some small signals to the muscles that surround the tongue, the base of the tongue. So it detects the obstruction and it tends to, when identified the obstruction, it pushes the tongue forward. So pushing the tongue forward, it clears the obstruction, and that's the way it helps with the obstructive sleep apnea. And again, all these treatments, so they are available. It will require, of course, it will require a full examination, full assessment, and to identify if the patient is a candidate for any of these particular treatment options.
Thank you for telling us about treatments. Where can patients find more information, including a doctor that can treat obstructive sleep apnea?
Sure. So one of the probably the way that patients can find more information, you know, is they have some concern about symptoms of snoring, gasping or choking for air, and excessive daytime sleepiness. What I would recommend is to discuss these symptoms with your primary care. So when you started with the primary care, your family doctor, share with your doctor about the symptoms. So your primary care physician, you know, he may recommend, if needed, he may recommend or make a referral for a sleep study. And then after getting the sleep study done, after the sleep study is complete, the sleep physician is going to review the results with you. So the sleep physician will talk to you about, you know, how bad is the obstructive sleep apnea. And at the same time, you know, the sleep physician will make some recommendation based on the severity. You know, if they will mention about the use of the CPAP, potentially the use of oral appliance, or some surgical procedure. So I will say it as a summary. So I would highly recommend to start with a discussion of the symptoms with your primary care. And from there, it will go into a referral to the sleep physician.
Once again, Dr. Correa, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Lowe. It's a pleasure participating in this podcast, and I look forward to review with you additional topics in the future.
That would be great. Thanks
My
again.
Pleasure. Have a nice day.
Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. Please take a moment to rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. If you would like to recommend topics to discuss in this podcast, please visit the website www.dentalchadpodcast.com or email me at dentalchadpodcast@gmail.com. Disclaimer. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. This is not a substitute for professional dental care or intended for the diagnosis or treatment of individual conditions.